Anybody here like the Spider-Man cartoon? I like the Spider-Man. The bzz, bzz, you know? Oh, it was great. I have my own theme song. Same music, different words, goes like this. Native man, does whatever a native can. Steals a smoke, any size, likes to drink lots of rice. Hey there.
There goes a native man.
My native sense is tingling. What is that spare change I hear?
Howie Miller is a comedian from Edmonton, Canada. He bills himself as a native comedian and uses his act to bust stereotypes about Native Americans. And Strange Champs asked Miller how he got started.
I found myself trying extra hard to be popular in high school. I was the only native in an all or non-native school. I was adopted into a very suburbanite area and a suburbanite family. So, you know, growing up, I was different anyways, but I always found myself trying extra hard to be accepted, even though my friends accepted me anyways. I mean, I was just Howie growing up. I'm the only one who saw myself as different, and there was a lot of sort of issues growing up there that I was bottling up and waiting to release on stage, as I found out later in life. But I was interested in acting, and I was always a performer. We'd go to these things. What we have here, we have piano bars. And there's a guy singing, either playing a piano or a guitar, and he'll sing. And I got to know these guys, and I would sing with them. And then we put a little act together where I would sing songs as different people, because at the time I liked to do impressions. So that's all I went on with. I was just like, you know, they'd seen me do one of these performances, and they said, you should go to an amateur night. You should be a comedian. And I had nothing to say, really. The first, you know, 4 or 5 times I was on stage, I just did impressions. And people thought, wow, the dark, you know, sort of native guy is doing, you know, a Sean Connery impression. This is weird. So they just, on the weirdness of it, I guess I became popular.
When you go out on stage, and these days, you know, your audiences know from the first time you step on stage or even when they buy tickets that they're going to see a native comedian and that your race is going to be part of your act. What kind of material do you like to start off with?
Well, it's the elephant in the room, and I am getting quite larger, heavier set. So when I walk on stage, it's something that I need to get out there right away, just so we can all relax. And if I later on in the show talk about being Native, you know, I like it when they're uncomfortable at first. It shows me that they're listening to a non-Native crowd anyways.
Hello. How are we? Hey, how are we? That's what you're expecting, aren't you? Yeah.
I tell them that I just did that, so I didn't want you guys thinking, you know, when you left the stage, wow, that, you know, that large Hawaiian man was hilarious. I just wanted to make sure that you knew that I am Native American and proud of it. And then it eases it in for later. You know, I can say, see, you guys are, you're not as awkward now. You know, you're not looking around to see if the Native people are laughing. You're actually having a good time.
If you have to ease them into it, are there, I don't know, sort of safer jokes?
Yeah, that's usually in the beginning, you know. Hey, thanks for having me here. I hope you guys are still like, are you liking the land still? Are you liking it? Good. I love what you've done with the place. Looks great. We're going to want that back, though. Yeah, I hope you know that. Don't want to sound like an Indian giver, but, you know, we're going to want it back.
In the videos I've seen on YouTube of some of your performances, at the beginning, you get this kind of nervous laughter from the audience. And at some point, there's like this big laugh. Sort of as though the audience feels like this is a relief. Oh, it's okay to laugh about this?
That's the whole point behind that act, I think. I've always strived to get that message across that, you know what, because we're dealing with touchy subjects sometimes. We're dealing with racism, and my attitude towards racism is it has to be looked upon as a joke, and eventually it'll go away so we can even stop joking about it. Because, I mean, if you take it seriously, then you're a racist, right? So it has to be viewed as a joke. That's how I view it personally, and I'd like to get it out there as a joke so we can all relax. We can laugh about things. You know, my jokes are interchangeable. I mean, if I was an Irish comedian, I would do the same jokes, but, I mean, it would be, you know, with an Irish accent, and I would be talking about Irish people.
But what do you do about, I mean, if there's real anger underneath there? For instance, that joke you do about the land, you know, you liking the land. Well, hidden under there is centuries of resentment because Native people did get shoved off their land. So how can you joke about it?
It's a way of putting it in the face again to say, you know what, we still remember that. I'm not going to sit here and fight for something that was done 400 years ago that I have no control over. I'm going to try and change it now and think positive. But I would like you to know that we're still thinking about it. But I don't want to hit people over the head with negativity. If I can't bring something to light in a positive manner where we can say, you know, this is just a joke, but I want you to realize that you're still laughing about a situation that's still out there. I'm not good at public speaking, as it were, to send a strong message across. So the way I can do it to still get it out there is with humor. And people have approached me afterwards, you know what, you made a lot of sense, and I want to say that you're actually pretty smart. I don't know if you know what you're doing, and of course I know what I'm doing, but, you know, I get it. A lot of people, you know, they think, people either think it's just really funny jokes, or people get what I'm trying to do.
I'll tell you what does tick me off about being Native, though, is Survivor. Oh, I can't stand that show. I'll tell you why. No Indians. You got every color of the rainbow on that show except red, right? I'm thinking, you know, it's probably a pretty good idea because they're not going to vote me off the island. They're just going to vote me to the crappy part of the island and leave me there for 200 years. Have fun, Howie. We'll call it a reservation. Of course, why would you want a Native on Survivor? Like, what the heck do I know about hunting and fishing? I'd be too good, right? There'd be like me and two guys left. They'd be like, how do we get Howie off the island? He's so good. I don't know. I brought some rye. You were thinking it.
Do you think people, non-Native members of your audience, are actually a little scared at first, and that's where some of the relief comes from? You know, a little scared that here's this big Native guy, he might really be angry.
Yeah, no, that's exactly it. That's the point that I want to get across to them, that we should all lower defenses because, you know, it's judging a book by its cover. The whole act is sort of designed that way, that you have to read into it. You have to see where this person's coming from. Everyone has a point of view. So when they see this large, grumpy-looking Native man on stage and it looks like, oh, we're in for like an hour of, you know, white bashing, well, you're not. You're missing the point. I'm going to mention stuff about wanting my land back. I'm going to mention, you know, some stuff about, you know, how the situation is right now. But I'm also going to make light of everyday things, relationships, my marriage, my children. Just to say, like, I'm a regular person too, and we all have problems, but here's mine.
So you do a certain amount of playing with the stereotypes of Native Americans. Well, I guess in Canada, you're First Nations. Isn't that the right terminology?
I prefer when people call me Howie. That's where I want to end up eventually. It's weird that I'm doing this interview from the CBC Radio here in Canada. I did an interview with them a while ago in Ottawa. That's our nation's capital. And it was a live interview. And the woman, I forget her name, and I feel bad to this day about it because she asked me that question. She says, what do you prefer to be called? Do you prefer to be called First Nations, Native American, Native, Indigenous? Which do you prefer to be called? And I said, well, I prefer to be called Howie. And she went redder than I was, and she was all apologetic on the air. She said, oh, I'm sorry, I didn't really mean it. I go, no, see, it's okay. It makes a tense situation. But in reality, it's just, you know, it's just a name, you know. It's not a definitive thing. I'm Cree from Alberta. I'm part of the Cree tribe. But again, I'm adopted by, you know, white, German, Scottish parents, so.
So, yes, I am Native. I'm Indigenous. I'm First Nations. I'm Aboriginal. I'm sick and tired of all the political correct crap. You just call me Caucasianly impaired. Thank you. I don't mind being Native, though. I like the free stuff. You know, like the land, the education, the healthcare. I'm not sure if you're aware of this, but here in the city, I get free cab rides. Well, they're cop cars, but they get you home. They're
Are there jokes that kind of go a little too far that your white audiences don't quite get or are a little uncomfortable with?
If there were any, I would have stopped doing them immediately. I try to be more general in my stage presence. I do a lot of, you know, solely Native functions where actually I can get a little more deeper into, you know, how life on the res is, and, you know, they love, Native people love to laugh. So, I mean.
So what's an example of a joke you could do before a Native audience but not before a non-Native audience?
Well, that they wouldn't get, like a non-Native audience wouldn't get, you know, being on a reservation. You always know when you're on a reservation, first of all, because when you're driving out of the blue, you could be, you know, you have to stop for like about 150 dogs that just cross the highway. And it's their road, you know. Some of them only have three legs. One had no legs, I saw. It was kind of funny. And it doesn't matter how downtrodden the houses are on a reservation. Sometimes they're a little beat up and everything, but they always have a satellite dish in the corner so they can watch the hockey game, or in your case, the hacky game. So there's stuff like that that, you know, my non-Native crowd might not really understand. I know people that have never been on a reservation. Or that they know of. So that's the way I always tell the white people, you know, you always know when you're on one, when all of a sudden the road goes to a single lane highway and there's 100 dogs at any point given time.
You were talking about, you know, what part of the power of comedy is that by getting people to laugh about uncomfortable things, you can talk about things, talk about stereotypes that are taboo. Have you ever had a moment like that where you felt like you'd really pushed through some difficult territory and you and the audience had gotten to a new place?
Yeah, there was a defining moment years ago when I was first sort of touring around and I was in this smaller community in their bar. It was a Wednesday night, and this after the show, this large, we call them FBIs for obvious reason, but a very large native man came up to me after the show and he said he wanted to talk to me. And I was kind of scared. I was taken aback. And so I sat down with him and he explained that some of my act, I shouldn't be doing, I shouldn't be saying those things about native people. And I just told him that I was, you know, I'm not making fun of you personally. I'm not making fun of anybody I know personally. I'm making fun of a stereotype that we didn't create. If I can get my message out there, like I said, in a positive way, then I'm going to try and do that. And I only had to talk to him for 5 minutes, and he totally switched his, you know, opposing arguments against me. And he said, you know what, I understand what you're doing. I understand. I guess I was in the back of the room judging you and not listening to you. Because I retold the jokes to him, telling him to keep that in mind. There's obviously going to be issues that people are holding on to, and they don't want to understand other people's point of views, and they've put up walls as a security blanket. And those people are hard to get through. But for the most part, it's someone like that that comes up to me after the show, you know, and I can either explain it to them and then they get it, or they come up to me and say, you know, I really understand what you're doing. I want you to know that, because that's happened to me before where I feel, you know, I can go and pat myself on the back now because, like, somebody gets it.
Howie Miller is a stand-up comedian from Edmonton, Canada, and Strange Champ spoke with him. To check out more of Miller's comedy or the books and music from the show, stop by our website at ttbook.org.